and coddling moi. The mescal worm feeds inside of agave hearts. This is a red one that Wagner didn't get in his book. Closed moths carry their shelters with them. External feeding caterpillars, by definition, are more visible to us, and they rely heavily on locomotion to get from leaf to leaf or food source to food source. And an important part of external feeding is having abdominal prolegs, which are very much needed for attachment onto leaf surfaces. And typically these prolegs occur on the third through sixth abdominal segments, as well as on the anal one, the A10. And of course you have fewer prolegs with loopers. This Polyphemus, you'll see how it can hang on. Incidentally, the original sound to this had my son crying at the exact moment that caterpillar fell over. Another important feature of prolegs is that they have crochets, also called crochets or crotchets, hooks that are on the prolegs, and they're very important for grasping onto silk, especially on smooth surfaces or on leaves. Also, the thoracic legs help to grasp also in positioning the head during feeding. Though tend to play less of a role in locomotion. This epipyropid larva is a great example of showing how tarsal claws on the thorax and the hooks on the abdominal segments hook into silk. Epipyropids are parasites on hoppers and cicadas, and this one here is actually leaving the cocoon, or leaving to make a cocoon, leaving the hopper host. The overview of the talk today is that I'm going to give a review of the Limacodid group and move through its phylogeny, showing videos of locomotion and related behavior. All the while, I'll be showing you various aspects of the morphology, modifications related to the locomotion. The superfamily Zygnoidea is made up of external feeders that tend to be very slug-like, and part of what contributes to this appearance is the fact that their heads are retractile for the most part, and they are slow growers, commonly have spiny defenses, though often you have larvae that are cryptic as well. And there's very often major changes between early instars and late instars. These are the 13 families presently considered to be in the superfamily. My work on the cladistic or phylogenetics of the Limacoda group showed that there were four families in the group, including three from the New World, the Megalopygids, Aedids, and Delcerids, and then the largest family, the cosmopolitan family, Limacodidae, having what I've now found to be about 1,500 species, according to my most recent estimates. Aedidae was previously a subfamily of Megalopygidae, a very small group of six, and Somabracidae, often associated with Megalopygids, was found to be a possible sister group to the Limacodid group, but not doesn't share any unique characters or characters that are unique to it and Megalopygidae. Here's a summary of the uniquely derived larval characters. They have extra prolegs on the segments A2 and A7. There's a reduction in length between A7th segment and the A10th. So there's really not much of a gap, but no gap really. Above, the anal plate is reduced and doesn't have spiny clumps or verruci. And then they have short legs, thoracic legs. This is a first instar of a soma brachid, which spins silk rather haphazardly, which is typical of first instars. And note the large thoracic legs, as well as the presence of prolegs on the second and seventh segments. The families Epipyropidae and Cyclotornidae are both parasitic. They were previously associated with Limacodidae and Delceridae based on the fact that they're very slug-like in appearance and have changes in their larval form. In addition, Epipyropids, the adults look very much like Delceridae in terms of their wing shape. They share no derived traits, however, with the Limacoda group, and recent evidence has also been suggested that they don't belong in the group by the Tree of Life work that's going on presently. So now we're going to go through our survey of the locomotion, starting with Megalopygidae. And this woolly Megalopygid, of course, is very deceptive because there's some nasty spines underneath all that fluff. When you see them on narrow surfaces like this wire, you can see what I was saying before about the prolegs, how little gap there is between any of the body segments during locomotion. You can also see their ability to spin around. They're fairly flexible. When you put them on a vertical piece of plastic or glass, you can see the ripples of locomotion that we're going to be seeing throughout the talk, and it's only going to get more fluid with the other groups that we see. But once again, we're seeing the contact of all these proleg segments and a squeezing of hemolymph underneath. You're seeing a little bit because there's a lot of muscles attached to all those prolegs. Looking up close at the undersurface when they're on glass again, you can see the sucker action of the membranous pads found on the prolegs. And this is a great help in them adhering to smooth surfaces. And you can see the crochets as well in the SEM photo. Typically, megalopygids lack crochets on the second and seventh prolegs. And as a matter of fact, crochets were not known to be found on these segments till I started finding them in the 1980s. Here's an example of Mesocea, which has crochets on all the proleg segments, and in addition has a lateral sucker as well. So once again, between having these membranous pads and an additional sucker, we can see the importance of being able to adhere to smooth surfaces. And typical of caterpillars, you see the figure eight silk spinning, and they use a spinneret that's straw-like, much like a zygenid or many other Lepidoptera. Okay, now we're going to move on to Aedidae. And aedids look very much like spiny limacodids till you turn them over and you see their prolegs. Here's the first instars, which have a much more flexible cuticle than we'll see in later instars. Their locomotion looks very much like limacodids and delcerids, but not quite as fluid. When you look at scanning electron micrographs of the undersurface of these aedids, we find that they have membranous pads. And this is a characteristic that I didn't detect in my work back in 96 because I was only examining alcohol specimens of later instars. And apparently these pads sort of get sucked under the crochets when they're preserved in this way. This is a side-by-side comparison of aided versus omega.